afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Now, I know we have a whole lot of different types of people that enjoy this show every week, but I know from chatting with you guys when you call in and also from talking with you by email that almost everyone who enjoys this show just happens to be female. Imagine that. You guys are lifestyle CEOs putting it all together and making it work. And I hope that you picked up a copy of the Thursday, September 14th, 2006 issue of USA Today magazine. There is a fantastic article in there about women and retirement. And it talks about women who have set themselves up for great retirement over the years. There's a feature on one woman who is 56 years old. She recently retired to an adult community in Jacksonville, Florida, after working for over 35 years as a ticket agent with a transportation company. This woman has her pension in place. She's got her 401k benefits. She's getting her Social Security payments. And she was able to save up her money to buy a house over the years, and she sold it, and she invested the money that she made on that, and she's living off of her retirement. And I think that is so fantastic. The trouble with it is that people like her are not going to exist 25 years from now, or if they do, they're going to be few and far between. And that's what the Lifestyle CEO Show is all about. This newspaper article also features women in their 70s who have recently returned to work, in part because they had been married sometimes and had great marriages, wonderful husbands, raised families, but never had any retirement income of their own. No Social Security, no taxes taken out of anything for them to be paid in their older years. And sometimes, you know, if husbands who... Unfortunately, the lifespan of men in this country is a lot less than it is typically for women. And so for husbands who become ill and wipe out all of their savings, there's nothing left for these women. And so sometimes at age 75, they have gone back to school and then gone back to work, and they're working various different jobs. Thankfully, this article focuses on women who seem to enjoy their jobs, but still having to go back into the workforce at that age is just, I can imagine it must be very scary. So I encourage every woman out there to make it your business to get a copy of the September 14th issue of USA Today and get the money section out. You can go to the internet and see it too, but you will not get the full version. This is a 7-page article, and it has 10 ways women sabotage their own retirement. And you need to know about this. I have read this from cover to cover. I read it to my husband. And there's some things in here, you know, with lifespan issues to talk about that aren't a lot of fun to discuss. But I encourage you to take a look at that. And without further ado, I want to introduce you to today's guest, who, like me, has taken a lot of these retirement-type things into consideration as we have become lifestyle CEOs and started our own businesses. And for those of you who may not know exactly what a lifestyle CEO is, if you may be joining us for the first time, it's a person who owns and manages a business not solely for financial reasons, but also to enjoy the benefits of independence, entrepreneurship, flexibility, and fun. And no one does that better than today's guest. She is none other than Jamila White, the e-commerce diva herself. She has been an internet marketing pioneer since 1995. That means when I was trying to figure out what on earth an internet was, she was already basically helping to develop it and also creating websites for people and teaching them how to use the internet to grow their businesses. And her mission is to help entrepreneurs and small business owners learn and apply her proven strategies that increase web sales and traffic. And if you're a small business owner, you need that. Jamila is a graduate, a summa cum laude graduate of the Howard University, and she is the owner of her own consulting firm called Jamila White & Associates. She's also a member of the Handmade Beauty Network, which, of course, makes her even more near and dear to my heart. And I could go on forever, but we've got to get to Jamila and share her knowledge with you. Welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show, Jamila.
Hi, Donna Maria. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And, you know, some of my listeners met you in New York over the summer at a conference that you spoke at and did such a great job. And, of course, we used to be neighbors. And so our relationship comes from so many different perspectives. And I know that everyone who enjoys this show needs to know whether their website is sick, and if it is sick, how is it sick, and what is the cure for it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But Jamila, first of all, I want to ask you if you had a chance to see that article, and whether you did or not, what do you think about some of those issues, and how do they influence you as a small business owner, as a lifestyle CEO?
Well, that's a really great question, because I don't think too many women or enough women are really thinking about it. I didn't see that particular article, but it's something that I'm aware of and something that I also talk to other people about sometimes. As a small business owner, you don't really have someone there the way you would in a corporation that kind of shepherds you through a benefits manager, I guess you could say, and tells you about all of the different plans and options that are available. You really have to be proactive and find out that kind of stuff on your own. So a couple of years ago, and I'm 33, by the way, and I don't think it's ever too early to start planning for retirement, but a couple of years ago, I sat down with a financial planner and kind of mapped out a strategy. And in addition to retirement planning, one of the things that I learned about at that point was most entrepreneurs don't have something that they're going to actually need before they die, because you're much more likely to become disabled at some point, even on a short-term basis, than you are to actually die. So that disability insurance is a really big issue, and I didn't know that at the time, so that was the first step I took, in addition to planning for my retirement, was also to get disability insurance, because what happens to me and my bills and my responsibilities if I were to be disabled? I am my business, and I'm one person. So if something happened to me, even just for, you know, 2 or 3 months, if I was, you know, out of commission, that would be a major and significant impact on my livelihood.
That is so true, and I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't think this article went into any detail about that, although I think it does mention that issue. And that is something that, from what I understand, insurance agents and other types of companies and their representatives that sell these types of benefits to people, their commission on disability packages is not as lucrative as it is on life and health.
Probably so. So you don't really get a whole lot of people telling you about disability insurance. So it's really important to get really good financial advice and to kind of read up on it. But one of the things that
to educate yourself, it's a hornet's nest out there. But if you take it apart piece by piece, it can certainly be done. And a great analogy there, too, is to kind of take apart your website piece by piece.
That's right.
And look at it, you know, as you're able to financially and otherwise. And we're going to talk to you about that. But first, can you tell us, Jamila, how you got started in this industry as early as 1995? That was over 10 years ago.
It is. And, you know, it's funny because Internet years, they say, are like dog years, because things that happen on the Internet tend to happen so much more quickly that a lot happens in a very short period of time in terms of development. And I initially got started, well, first of all, in the early 90s, like 92, 93, 94, I used to fool around with online services like America Online and CompuServe, which ended up getting bought by America Online, back when they used to charge us by the hour to surf on their systems. And so
remember when America Online crashed?
Oh, yes.
It had this big launch, and then it totally crashed.
And it totally crashed. And that came in the mid-90s.
We all should have invested back then.
Exactly. And, you know, I was always interested in that kind of thing. And then when I was graduated from college, I studied public relations. And I got a job in PR, in corporate PR, and I was low man on the totem pole as the younger person in the office. And we found out that some of our engineers out in the laboratory division were doing something on something called the Internet. They were putting up a page. And as corporate affairs, we were, you know, responsible for managing anything that was communicated externally. So they sent me to go find out what this Internet thing was. And when I came back, I was like, this thing is huge. And this was in late 1994. So, you know, I became interested then, and I launched the corporation's website and managed a team. And at the same time, on a separate note, I decided I was going to start a side business, and I was selling African-American fraternity and sorority stuff on the side with the aim of one day opening a retail store. And eventually, to make a long story short, those two visions collided, and I ended up quitting my job and opening an online retail store because I was so stubborn. I was still thinking about a traditional retail storefront, but at 22 years old, I didn't have any money, I didn't have any collateral, and I didn't have a lot of the other things that you would need access to in order to open a store. So I turned to the internet as a means to raise money to open the retail store. Little did I know that that was the store, was the internet store. And back then, they weren't even calling it e-commerce.
Right. It's funny how that works out, and you start off doing one thing as you strike out, and then you find out, you know, that you kind of move into a whole bunch of things. And the bottom line is you're still doing all these internet dog years later, which adds up to like 70 of them.
Probably feels that way.
Right. Your focus, you know, is still the same, even though what you do from day to day may be different.
Right.
And that's such a great story. I always love to share those or have you share that, because so many listeners are doing the same thing. And it's such an encouragement, Jamila, for me, too, to see someone else doing something that they love to do and kind of going with the flow and allowing it to change.
Well you got to be flexible because, you know, life happens, and sometimes the best plan that we have for ourselves gets exceeded by something that comes along and surprises us and turns out to be even better. And to be honest with you, Donna Maria, I really don't understand how people can spend 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week doing something that they hate. That's more time than we sleep. That's more time than we spend with our families. And if you hate your job and you hate what you do every single day, I just think that that's a really, you know, unhappy and unfortunate way to live life, that there are other options out there and you can make other options for yourself.
Right, right. Particularly today when the internet is available to kind of help us create new opportunities for ourselves.
So this is an exciting time to be a small business person, because a lot of things that you couldn't do 10, 15, or even 20 years ago as a one-person business with a relatively small budget, you can do today.
Yeah, and that's where you come in, because you share so much helpful information with people. So let's kind of start with most lifestyle CEOs out there, and we don't need to go through what the internet is and all that. Most of us have a website, or at least we're developing one. So let's take a look at those of us who have a website, and how do we even ask the question, is our website sick? I guess if you're not getting any sales, you know your website is sick. But
Well, most people know that their website is sick, but they haven't really thought about it, because the fact is most small business websites are sick. And the first way that you can tell is every time you think about your website, do you go, oh, yay, or do you go, oh? I mean, that's the biggest clue right there, is how do you feel about it?
Well, sometimes it depends on the day.
Right, but if there are more yay days than groan days, you're probably at least moderately healthy. But the biggest thing is money and effort. Are you getting more money and revenue and lifestyle or whatever it is that you want out of your website than you are putting into it? Mm-hmm. If your website costs you more every month in hosting and website updates and all that other stuff than you're making in sales, that is a big red flag that your website is sick.
Okay. So I know a lot of people in that position, and like you said, their websites are sick, but they just don't know what to do. So what are some of the things that you can just, like, someone can do even today just to get a return today on where their website is and what they can do to fix it?
Well, I think the first thing is to really understand what kind of sickness you have, because everybody assumes mistakenly that if their website isn't doing what they want it to do or isn't bringing in what they want it to bring, that they assume the problem is traffic, not having enough people visiting. And while that is a very common problem, that's not always the problem. So you first have to identify whether it's actual lack of visitors that's causing the problem, or if it's something else called conversion rate. And conversion rate is when you have people who are visiting to your website, but they aren't converting from being just browsers and shoppers and, you know, casual lookers into actual paying customers.
Okay.
And the only way to know that for sure is to know how many people are visiting your site. So you have to look at your web traffic reports that are given to you by your website host.
Right. So you have, just like you have your physical checkup when you know something is wrong, you kind of got to figure out what the issue is. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from our first break.
Okay.
This is the Lifestyle CEO Show, everyone. We will be right back with Jamila White, the e-commerce diva.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, everyone. I'm Donna Maria and I have got the e-commerce diva here, and we are talking about how to know if your website is sick and what to do about it. I want you to know that this lady is a storehouse of information. No matter how big or small your question is, you can call in and talk with her toll-free and ask it, and she will have she'll be able to send you in a particular direction. I guarantee that. Our telephone number here to call in is 800-773-0355 to talk to the e-commerce diva. And before we took a break, Jamila, you were sharing with us a little bit about whether the problem was people coming to your site or whether the problem was once they get there, are they doing what you want them to do?
That's
right.
Can
you talk a little bit more about that?
Right. You may not need a gazillion visitors in order to have a successful website if you can get more of the people who are coming to your site to convert into paying buyers. If you get a higher conversion rate, you can do better with fewer visitors. So the first part of establishing how sick your website is and why it's sick, it's like the difference between a cold, the flu, and a stomach ache. They're all different problems that all make you feel bad, but they all have different causes. So the website is the same thing. Once you figure out the cause, and the only way that you can really get an idea of what the cause is to have your web traffic reports. Get them from your web hosting company, and if you can't get them there, you can sign up for a really great free program called Google Analytics. I love this program. You can go to google.com/analytics and sign up for free, and it'll tell you exactly what's happening behind the scenes of your website, and, you know, where your orders are coming from and where the problems are.
That is so great. And for those of us who already have our web hosting companies tracking that, is that also a great way to compare to see if you're getting consistent statistics?
Absolutely. It's a great way to compare. It's a great way for you also to measure your progress over time, because as entrepreneurs, we're so, you know, focused on looking ahead that we don't actually look behind and see how far we've come. So even if you have two more orders than you did, you know, this period last month, you're still doing better. You know,
right.
And if you're at zero, there's no place to go but up. So there's always
That's
a starting point.
Great thing to remember, as long as you're not going backwards. So let's talk about those conversion rates. You look at the statistics, and then how can you figure out whether people are doing what you want them to do using those statistics?
Okay, well, you get a quick calculator, and you take the number of orders that you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a certain month or in a certain period, and you divide that by the number of visitors you have for that same period.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And anything that you, and then you multiply it by 100. Okay, so if you have 10 orders you have 1,000 visitors in that same period,
mm-hmm.
and you multiply it by 100, that's your percent. That would be 1%. So anything around 1% or 2% is really, really good. Do not, you know, freak out when you get a really small number, because that's where most people are, below 1%.
Okay.
That's okay. There's no place to go but up. Mm-hmm. But that's a starting point to tell you where you're going. And if you're making, you know, 5 or 10%, you need to call me so I can hire you to teach some more of my workshops. Because that would be, you know, outstanding conversion.
Oh, great. Okay, so you're making such a great point with the, you know, there's nowhere to go but up. So many times we just get frustrated because we see 2 orders a week, you know, who can live on that? And that's a legitimate question.
But well, my theory is 2 is better than 1, and 1 is better than 0.
Right, right. And then as you move forward, if you're getting 2 more every week, then you're definitely going in the right direction.
Well, if you had 2 last week and you get 2 this week, that's 100% increase. So that's good. You know, it's all relative to where you were before. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's going to have, no small business is going to have Amazon.com-like sales, mm-hmm. you know, in their first week or maybe even ever. But you don't have to have that level in order to be successful. But you do have to have an idea of what you want to accomplish mm-hmm. at first so that you have a goal. Otherwise, you're just kind of out there floating in the breeze. But, you know, decide what do you want your website to do for you and for your business, and how many orders do you want to get? How much sales do you want to get? And once you start with a goal, you can start progressing towards that. And one of the things I want to mention about conversion rate, that's not just for people who are selling online. That's not just for e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a service business or you're a consultant or even a web designer, you also have a conversion rate. And in that case, you're not measuring how many orders you have per se, but you might be measuring how many new leads you get, or how many people sign up for your newsletter, or how many people, you know, use your contact form for more information. So whatever it is, the purpose of your website, that's what you're measuring in your conversion rate. So instead of doing the number of orders divided by the number of visitors times 100, you would do something like the number of new newsletter subscribers divided by the number of orders times 100, or the number of people who picked up the phone and called you and said, I just saw your website, I want more information.
Right.
So whatever it is that you want to accomplish, that's the thing that you're measuring for conversion rate.
Right. Okay, so let's say you've done that analysis and you get 1 to 2%, which you've said is a really great start.
Right. Most likely you're going to get 0.005 something, or, you know, it's going to start with a lot of zeros. That's okay.
Okay, well, let's say we're just above zero. Let's say we've done something. We've gotten some kind of conversion rate, no matter how small, and we have nowhere to go but up, which is always good news. And then
right.
What do you suggest that someone do when they get that number and they go, okay, this is what it is now. You know, in 4 months or however long, I want it to be like this. What can I do in between? In other words, you're doing some things right already, but what things can you suggest people add to what they're doing to make their websites perform better?
Well, first is take a real hard and objective look at your website
mm-hmm.
and pretend you are a first-time visitor who's never heard of your company and never been on the website before.
Okay.
On first glance, meaning within 3 seconds, does it come across exactly what it is that you're selling without having to scroll up or down? That's one of the key things there. Oftentimes, we know our businesses and our products and services intimately, and then we make our customers hunt and figure out what our website is about. You know, they may have just followed a link from a friend that said, click here, and they don't even know what it is they're supposed to be looking at. And if they can't tell in the first 2 or 3 seconds, you're in trouble. And that's going to contribute to a low conversion rate, because people are going to be like, I can't even figure out what this site is about, and they're going to leave.
Right.
Or they're going to look at it and say, I know what it's about, but I can't find the information I'm looking for, and they're going to leave.
Okay, all right. So,
okay, the second thing you want to look for is consistent and easy navigation. Is it really clear what all the buttons are and what they all mean? And do they use regular plain old English
mm-hmm.
and not your internal corporate jargon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you have products, put products, or put shop. You know, if you have services, put services. Don't use cutesy names that make them guess what's behind door number 3, because they won't guess. They'll just leave.
Okay. I was talking with a website designer about this issue last week. We're talking about redesigning one of my websites. And most websites, Jamila, have a place called, you know, frequently asked questions or,
mm-hmm.
you know, something to let the site visitor know, here's where you go to get answers to questions.
Sure.
And one website uses the word concierge for that. C-O-N-S-I-E-R-G-E, concierge, which I thought was really interesting because that's something that you usually see only in the hotel industry.
Right.
And I remember clicking on it because I thought, well, gee, that's an interesting term to use at a website. What does that mean? And so, of course, I went there and saw answers to all the questions I had, and I thought, oh.
But you didn't know when you clicked on it what you were going to get.
That's right. And I knew the person, so I was inclined to stay there anyway because I liked the person that wanted to know what she was doing. But that,
right. But that's not going to work for most people because, A, they don't know you, B, they don't like you, and C, they don't have time.
So that's kind of a good, is that a good example?
It's a perfect example.
Okay.
A perfect example. Or using, if you have e-commerce, using terminology other than shopping cart or shopping bag for shopping cart. You know, I've seen websites where they say, you know, your box. Nobody knows what a box is, or not even alluding to the fact that it's a shopping cart.
Right.
You know, you got to use standard terminology. You know, just like when you're driving, you see a stop sign that says stop. We all know what it means. On your website, you're using the equivalent of navigational tools and signs to tell people where to go and what to do. And
okay.
This is not the time. Be creative with your design. Be creative with your products. Don't try to get cute and creative with the buttons and the navigation.
Okay, because you want people to know where to go and what they can expect when they click there.
Right, and one of the worst things you can do, even worse than things like concierge, is put page one, page two, page three. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what that means.
Yes.
What they're going to find, and, you know, they're going to think, I don't have time to figure out what this
right.
is about, and they'll go to your competitor.
Right. Okay, so make sure information is above the fold. You don't have to scroll down. Use concise, clear, and easy-to-understand terminology, and what else?
Well, when you said above the fold, I just want to clarify. Above the fold means the top part of the website where you don't have to scroll. So,
okay.
That's, you know, that's an industry term.
Right. So, and it's funny because I see a lot of times I see websites where you go to their homepage, and then this big, huge picture of their logo.
Right. And guess what? I know you spent time and money on your logo, and you may have even created yourself, but the rest of the public does not care.
Right. We don't.
So
that's
your
right.
flash intro with your spinning logo, that's not helping you. It's actually hurting you, especially in terms of e-commerce. Having your logo take up the top one-third of the screen before you have your products, mm-hmm. that's going to hurt you and not help you. And, you know, they came for the goods. Give them what they want, and they will buy from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. That makes it real simple.
Give them what they want, not what you want to give them.
Right. And I like the way you drive it home. They don't know you and they don't like you. So.
Well, it's not that they don't like you, but they don't know you well enough to like you.
Right, well, I know what you mean, but if it's a total complete stranger, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
So many of us say, gee, I'm going to email my new website to my 500 friends and see what they think. And half of them have probably been hearing about your new website for a really long time, so they... You know, they're not going to give you an objective analysis.
Exactly.
So you need to get that so the way...
Oh, that's such a good point, especially when we're talking about women business owners. Now, this goes across the board, but women do this more often than men, and I call this the does my butt look big in this syndrome, okay? And what this means is we've all done this to a friend, a husband, a significant other, a family member. We've put on some outfit and modeled it and asked the question, either does my butt look big in this or do I look fat in this? We've all done this.
Okay.
And there's only one correct answer that the person who loves you can give without damaging the relationship, and that is you look fine, you look beautiful.
Right.
Okay? And we do this with our website. You know, we build a website, especially those of us who are not web designers, and we spend all this time on it, or we spend a whole week trying to figure out Microsoft Front Page or some other software to make a website, and then we show it to our husbands, our families, our parents, our children, our brother, sister, best friend, and we say, doesn't my website look good? Or what do you think of my website? And guess what? It's the same question, and there's only one answer. And what they hear when you ask that question is not, would a customer buy from this? What they hear is, doesn't this look good for someone who really doesn't know what they're doing and has never done this before?
Ouch.
And there's only one correct answer, and that is, sure, your website looks great. It's better than I could have done. That's the answer. And so you don't really get helpful, objective information when you ask the does my butt look big in this syndrome kind of questions.
Okay.
So what you have to do is, A, ask the right people, which mm-hmm. are potential customers, current customers, people who are in your industry, and then, B, ask the right question, not doesn't this look good, because that's subjective, but would you buy from this? If so, why or why not? You know, what do you... when you look at my front page, when you look at my website, what do you think about? What do you think we're selling? Don't tell them what the answer is. Don't lead them, but just listen. And that's where you get your best feedback.
Okay.
But when you ask your husband, your boyfriend, your significant other, and
right.
every other person who has a long-term obligation to keep you happy,
right.
they're going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right, because they want to make sure that you're available that evening.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, exactly. Those are such great tips. And you mentioned something during the last conversation we were having just now about Microsoft Front Page.
Mm-hmm.
And can you share with people how they can use a program like that to help to maintain their own website?
Well, sure. And the first thing is, if you're doing it yourself, there are lots of templates and things that these programs come with, and not just software that you buy like Microsoft Front Page and others, but there are also shopping carts that have, which are online programs that have online templates already built into the program. So that's something if you're just starting out and you're on a very small budget and you can't afford to have a custom designed website, that's something that you can try to do yourself. And with a fairly short learning curve in terms of just learning how to use the software, because it's designed for regular people. You know, if you try to do something like Dreamweaver, which is a professional-grade software tool, there's a much bigger learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it really depends on your comfort level with both, A, using computers and using various software, and, B, just creating designs.
Okay.
And knowing how to put things in a place where people are going to buy them from you. Because
mm-hmm.
making your, you know, family reunions website or your book club's website is a lot different than making a website that you expect people who've never met you to give you their money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you really have to come across as professional.
Okay. So what do we do if we have a small budget? Do we hire somebody to do a website template? Well, let's just say obviously you can get a template.
Right.
Right. And are there upsides, downsides to a template?
Well, if you have a small budget, and that's probably going to be most people listening, because everybody always thinks their budget is smaller than it needs to be, even if you've got a $50,000 budget, you know, versus a $50 budget. Everybody thinks it's too small and they'd like more. But the key question is, how do you allocate the money? How do you divide up what you do have? And most people end up spending their entire web budget on website development, and then they end up not having any money for hosting, you know, throughout the rest of the year, any money for updating their website and maintaining it. If you're new and you're selling products, I would say invest a good chunk of your money in product photos, because the products are going to sell. It's the photos that sell the products, not the web design.
That's a great point to mention, and you can keep your costs down.
Exactly. If you're on a limited budget, do the website design yourself, but get a really good product photo.
Right.
You know, something that's clear, not something you took with your camera phone, okay?
Right.
Something that's really clear
and
up close.
It's possible these days to get good pictures, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and other things you can do to check up on your website when we come back from our next break. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the final segment of the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we have Damila White, the e-commerce diva, here with us today, helping us to get our websites in tip-top shape. You can call your question or comment in to the e-commerce diva on our toll-free number, 800-773-0355. I also encourage you to visit the Lifestyle CEO website at lifestyleceo.com, where all the information you need to navigate the website and get information is, in fact, above the fold. You do not have to scroll down. It's all right there.
Excellent.
And we just launched a new newsletter last week, a quick read publication designed to give you easy-to-implement tips and strategies that you can implement into your busy lifestyle quickly and efficiently to help enhance your business as well as your life. Check that out at lifestyleceo.com. Damila, before we took our break, we were talking about photographs at your website. And, you know, I got to tell you, I have seen beautiful websites with ugly photographs.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen ugly websites with ugly photographs, and I have seen ugly websites with beautiful photographs. And no matter what the website looks like, it's the pictures that will keep me there longer than anything else.
Absolutely. It's the pictures and the content, content meaning the words and the descriptions. As long as you give people what they want, they'll keep coming back, they'll buy from you, and then they'll tell their friends. So they didn't come for your logo. They didn't come for your super fancy web design. You don't have to have a super fancy website in order to sell a whole lot of stuff. There are some very basic looking websites that are bringing in millions of dollars. And so it's the key is really understanding what your customer wants and giving it to them. I mean, it sounds really simple, but that's the key.
Right.
And if they want to know, you've got to think about how people shop in real life. They go into a store, they look at a shelf, they pick it up off the shelf. They turn it all around, they feel the texture, they feel the weight, they smell it, they touch it, all of that stuff. And they can't do that on your website. So that's why it's so crucial to have really good product photos, and it's crucial to have really good descriptions that describe not just what the product looks like, but what it smells like, tastes like, how it fits, how you can use it, the weight, the dimensions, everything that you can think of to describe the product to replace the fact that the customer cannot pick it up and hold it.
Right, right. And so once you, and you mentioned earlier, forget about your telephone camera.
Yes.
That's a good piece of advice, too. And it's not that hard to find a camera that can take good quality pictures these days, is it?
And no, it's not. You know, I'm not a gadget guru at all. But you can go to any office supply store, Staples or Office Depot, Radio Shack, and tell them what you need the camera for, you know, that you want to do product photos and it's going to be used on the web or in a print brochure. You tell them what you're going to use it for, and they can help you pick out the best camera for you. And you can probably get something really good under $250.
Right, and the technology is so amazing these days that you really don't have to have a degree in photography to take a fairly decent photograph.
No, you don't. And make sure one of the things that you can do is it's important to what they call crop a photo, and that is to cut off all the extra space around the photo.
Okay.
You know, make it a more close up picture, because you want the majority of the photo to show the product itself and not the whole space around the photo. So
right.
You'll get more bang for your buck if you can do that. And most basic graphic software programs can do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Damila, I understand from prior conversations with you and from listening to you speak that you have one tip and some information about one tip that you believe is just one of the most crucial things that you can do to make a sick website well. Can you share with everyone what that is and how we can implement it?
Well, the best thing you can do if you've got a sickness due to not having enough visitors, and everybody can always use more visitors no matter how successful you are, the single most important thing that you can do, which also is the single most cost-effective and most inexpensive thing you can do to grow your web business, is to have an email newsletter and to send out the newsletter regularly. That is the single most important thing that you can have to have the greatest impact on your web business.
Okay.
You know, blogs are great and podcasts are great. I always get people asking me about the latest buzzwords, but it's plain old-fashioned email newsletter. Well, old-fashioned compared to the whole internet, I guess. But email newsletter marketing is the best way to go. Collecting all of the email addresses from your current customers, asking their permission to email them, and having a sign-up box on every page of your website for people to sign up for your newsletter is crucial. because they don't always come in through the home page. Sometimes they come in through a link to another page. Mm-hmm. So you want to capture their information, because it takes a person on average between 4 to 8 visits to a website before they even decide they want to buy something. So even if you were successful in getting them there the first time, you have to have a strategy to get them back over and over again so that they are familiar enough with you to buy from you when they are ready to buy.
Okay.
I call that a keep-in-touch strategy. So
right.
The newsletter, the email newsletter, is the most effective way to do that.
Okay. It's funny because I received an email newsletter just a few days ago, which came from someone that I know personally, so I'm not going to unsubscribe.
Right.
But also, you know, it's like we were saying earlier, if she was asking me how I liked her newsletter, because this is kind of a little bit of what I do, I may be a little more honest than I otherwise would, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or really discourage anyone, but the point is that this newsletter came to me after I had completely forgotten that I had signed up. I can't even remember when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't quite sure what the point was. There was no introduction. It was just kind of, well, here's my newsletter.
Okay. Was it like their family newsletter, or was it like a business newsletter?
It's a business that runs kind of sort of semi-part-time.
Okay.
But, you know, the goal of it, you know, as I understand it, you know, it is to make money. But the reason I mentioned it is, Jamila, because I see so many people treating their newsletter that way. You would never let a sale sit there for weeks and weeks and not address it.
That's true.
And so say you have a publication and not, you know, I mean, if it's late, you know, that happens. But wouldn't you say there are things you can do to kind of, you know, update the website or at least introduce people to the fact that it's late?
Well, yeah. And the thing is, most people, if you wait too long, just like you said, if you wait too long to send out a newsletter, the first newsletter after you've collected the emails or a subsequent newsletter, people are going to forget that they signed up. And, you know, in your case, it was a friend, but what if you didn't even know this person? You'd forget that you actually did request their newsletter, and that's one of the reasons why people get reported as being a spammer, is because they signed up, and you know, you did the right thing by asking permission as a marketer, but then you didn't send it out, so they forgot, and then they're saying, what is this thing in my email box? I don't even remember what it was, and they click spam. And that's one of the many ways that people get reported as spammers, and you can end up getting blacklisted that way.
Right, and you don't want that. We've got a caller with a question.
Oh, good.
Here, Jamila. We've got Taiwo on the line. Taiwo, are you here?
I'm in Washington. I'm here. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Is this the Taiwo that I know?
This is the Taiwo that you know.
How are you?
Really fascinating. You've been sending me emails for a while, and I just happened to be on the Internet today, and I saw your email that said you'd be on this show.
Oh,
so
good.
It worked. So I'm listening to the show and finding it
fascinating. See, the power of email marketing.
yes, and it actually worked. I've actually listened and responded. My question is, I have a service business. I'm in the mortgage business, and I've got a website that is up and running. And of course, I just want to know, in a service business, how do you drive? And I'm local. I'm just in the Washington, Virginia, D.C. area, so I'm not national, and I don't intend to be national, at least at this time. And so I'm just wondering, how do you drive people in that kind of a situation to a website when it's really not a product to purchase right away for a lot of people?
Oh, that's a great question. The first is to present yourself as the solution to their problem, their information problem, first of all. So if you're in the mortgage business, you got to get them early as they're having questions about, you know, should I be looking at a mortgage? What kind should I be looking at? I'm thinking about buying a house. One of the best things that you can do is to provide information on your website or articles on your website that answer those specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a local business where you're not trying to get customers from California or New York or whatever, but just in the Washington, D.C. area, make it local in your content. Talk about, are you thinking about buying a home in the Washington, D.C. area? Or are you thinking about refinancing in suburban Maryland? Okay, put that into the title of your article. But the kind of business that you have lends itself very well to having an email newsletter where you're sending out tidbits and tips, you know, on a regular basis, weekly,
right,
every other week, or at least at a minimum once a month. But you really want to get it up more often than that, because someone can go through the entire mortgage process in between the time that you have newsletters. So you want to get them so that they're familiar with you and that you're answering questions that they may not have even known they had. Mm. One of my secrets is to put it into take the question and then flip it around and put it into a negative headline. And what I mean by that is saying, you know, we didn't talk about, is your website healthy today? We said, is your website sick? Okay? Because that's going to get people's interest and attention more quickly. So you can turn that around and start using titles like, for your newsletter, like the top 10 mistakes that people make when they're looking for a mortgage. Mm. Or how to tell a legitimate mortgage company from a scam. You know, that's also one of the challenges in your business because of the real estate boom, there's also been an increase in scams relating to mortgages.
Absolutely.
So it's very much a do I know this person kind of thing. If you are in a financial business and you're trying to attract business, make sure you have pictures of real people that work at the company. If you're just a one-person company, put your own picture up there so they feel like they're doing business with a real person and not just, you know, some Joe Schmo who threw up a website yesterday is going to be gone with their money.
Can I ask one other quick question?
Tyler, what? You can ask one more question. I'm so glad you called in from my hometown. You're my homeboy.
Okay. My other question, I was on a website recently, and I clicked on for some information for a newsletter, and I was really impressed because it came out, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it came instantly into my email box.
Right.
How do you do that so that if somebody requests a newsletter or something, it becomes instant?
Excellent question. That's called an autoresponder.
Ah.
And essentially what that means is someone will, when they take an action, your website or the system behind your website or your newsletter automatically handles everything. I use the same kind of technology because people think I'm sending them personalized emails with their first name and at all hours of the night or day, and I'm not. I'm off doing something else. That's called an autoresponder, and there's a couple of places that you can get that. The system I use has my shopping cart and newsletter all integrated with the autoresponder in one package. Mm. So when someone subscribes, they get a note thanking them for subscribing, and then they get a copy of the most recent issue, and that's all automated. So the shopping cart program I use is called OneShoppingCart.com. It's the number one, then ShoppingCart.com. If you're not actually selling something but you still want an autoresponder, check out their autoresponder only package, and another good company that does that is called AWeber, and that's the letter AWEBER, one B. It's all one word together, AWeber.com.
Fantastic. You're going to give out information on how to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. My website is ecommercediva.com. You can just click on that and send me a note, and I'll get right back to you.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Listen, really glad you told me about the show,
and
this is my first time listening to it. I'm really enjoying it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Jamila, I love that you mentioned, giving out some of those resources. And what he brought up was a really, really good point, is that when you do subscribe to a newsletter, if you get an immediate thank you, the person is less likely to forget about you, even if the newsletter doesn't come for another week.
Absolutely, because it kind of solidifies in their mind that they did subscribe, you for subscribing, and it solidifies also your company name and your products and service in their mind, so that the next time they see something, they can, they won't think that it's a mistake or that you're unfamiliar. One other tip I like to give regarding autoresponders is you can set up your whole newsletter system on an autoresponder so that your newsletter goes out on predetermined dates automatically, so you can write your newsletter content ahead of time. You can write out 30 different, quick tips ahead of time and set up your autoresponder so that the people on your list get one tip a day for 30 days or one tip a week for 52 weeks. You can do that ahead of time. You know, it might take you a couple of hours, but then it looks like you've been working like a slave all year long to write these great newsletters. So, autoresponders are a really, really great tool, and they're pretty cheap. It usually costs less than $20 a month to do that.
Okay, and what's the name of the company again? You mentioned
OneShoppingCart.com, and the other one is AWeber.com, A-W-E-B-E-R, .com.
So there's a variety of different things that can be used to kind of bolster the newsletter. So how do you get started? In the little bit of time we have left, how do you get started with a newsletter? What do you do first?
Well, you, first thing you do is get people signed up. Even if you don't have anything to say just yet, start collecting up all those email addresses and put that sign-up box in your website. And usually the email management service that you sign up with will give you the exact tools you need to put those sign-up boxes on your website very easily, even if you don't have a web design background. Even if you don't have a budget, go to yahoogroups.com, and you can get a free newsletter management tool, yahoogroups.com.
Right. So so even before you actually have a publication, you can start collecting.
Right. Even if you don't have your website, you know, a lot of us have coming soon, but you have the domain name, but you don't have the website up yet. Instead of having your web hosting company or your domain name company's advertisement up there, put up a sign-up box that says, we're coming soon. You know, here's the name of our company. We're coming soon. Sign up here and be the first to hear the announcement when we launch. That way you're already collecting email addresses from your website so that when you launch, you have somebody to tell. You know, a lot of people just put up a website and launch it and think that the world automatically knows that it's there. You know, if you build it, doesn't mean they'll come. You have to tell people that your website is there, and you have to remind them that your website is there.
So once you've collected enough email addresses and you really feel like you're able to fit this into your schedule, can you just tell us, we literally have about 30 seconds left, can you give a quick overview of, like, what you want in a newsletter to make it good?
Okay, you want it to be relevant to the kinds of people who are going to be buying from you. So you want to tell them about your products or services, maybe have a featured product of the month or sale of the month. You can also give them tips on how to use it or how to make it better. It really depends on what your industry is, but you want to make it informational, informative.
Okay, that's a really good tip to remember. And for those of you who would like some more information about being relevant, offering tips, and being information in your newsletter, and also how to make your website well if it's sick, you need to visit the E-Commerce Divas website at ecommercediva.com. Jamila White is the person that you will meet there. You can subscribe to her newsletter, which is a fantastic resource, and you can get some information about her boot camp, her teleclasses, and all the great information that she can share with you to help make your website perform at top level. Jamila, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
It's been great. So everyone head over to ecommercediva.com, and don't forget to go to lifestyleceo.com to check out resources there and the new newsletter and the Lifestyle CEO book. We're going to be back next week with another great show. In the meantime, I want you guys to get out there and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. This is Donna Maria signing off. See you next week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.